This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 19, 2022. The Votive Mass of the Holy Cross by Father William Doc Holliday.
You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord in your generations with an everlasting observance.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading today from the book of Exodus speaks of the Passover meal. The Passover meal that we hear we should keep to the Lord in generations with an everlasting observance. Now, some people will approach and say, see, you stopped doing that. And the scriptures say that you're supposed to have the Passover for an everlasting observance. We do. The Passover pointed forward to the Eucharist. Every aspect of it speaks of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Every single word of it. And we do it as an everlasting observance at our Lord's command. This one who was the true Paschal Lamb. Our Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. And as oft as ye shall do it, you will remember my death until I come. This is the reality of the Eucharist. This is the reality of the cross. This is why we should take time to do votive masses for the Holy Cross. I mean, every single mass that we come to is a holy sacrifice, a representation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just need to understand that, because we do not want to mock Jesus, as was described in the gospel reading today from the Gospel of St. Mark. We need to look at the cross for what it is. It is nothing less than the anchor point of our very existence. It is who we are, the cross. And to look at it in any other way is, as I said, to mock our Lord Jesus Christ as the soldiers did. You look at that mockery that was done to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, were these soldiers one day, oh, there's the Son of God, let's go mock him? That was not their thing. They didn't comprehend who he was. For them, again, I point this out quite frequently, those Roman soldiers were the good guys back in those days. They were the soldiers. They were the police. And our Lord Jesus Christ was a criminal. This is their perception. Why? Because they could not comprehend who he was. They had not been instructed as to who he was. They did not listen to him teach. They had no idea of his miracles. They were just soldiers doing their job. And back in those days, criminals were treated like criminals. Okay, they were punished. It was not, executions were made to be painful. They were made to be a public spectacle to keep people from committing crimes. That's a debate for a different day, but that was the way it was. Okay, so this mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ is not done directed toward the Son of God. It's directed toward a criminal. But this is where we need to stop. We need to think about, these men did this because they did not comprehend who he was. We have to understand that about people who don't believe what you say to them when you try to invite them to Mass, or you try to tell them they need to be Catholics or anything. They don't comprehend. Now, we saw some soldiers that did comprehend as things went on. Indeed, this man was the Son of God, saith a Roman soldier, okay, when he saw what had played out in front of him. So it wasn't like they were hopeless cases. This should give us a lot of hope for those to whom we speak. It might not be our words, but it might be something that happens in their life that brings them to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it is going to be the cross if they're going to be saved. I said before, you know, we do not want to be like the soldiers and mock our Lord Jesus. We need to comprehend who he was and what he did for us, and he died for our sins. You know, when they mocked him, you know, they put this purple robes on him, purple the color of royalty. They planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, that crown that symbolized in a parody the crown that a king wears. They even parodied the imperial acclamation of him. Ave Caesar Victor Imperator. This is the Latin for Hail King Victor, the Conqueror. This is what they're yelling at. This mockery, again, done not directed at the Son of God, but someone whom they did not comprehend. This is what goes on now. We have to be careful of, you know, I'd never do anything like, well, of course none of us would do anything that overt. But Satan's guidance, and Satan is more subtle than any beast of the field, he does things on the side. Mockery can be very subtle. If you really think about, well, he put a purple cape on him, mocking the royal robes. Is it not the same thing to say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, the King of your life, and then do what you want to do? That is a subtle mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is reality. Hail, King, Victor, the Conqueror. You know, we can sit in here and listen about Jesus conquering on the cross, and we can hear about this is my body and this is my blood. But if we really don't believe it, that is a subtle mockery. I would say sometimes, in some cases, even not so subtle. To be so bold as to come to Catholic Mass on a Sunday and then leave and fill out a survey and say you don't really believe in the real presence of our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. That is an overt mockery. You just went in somewhere where somebody said, and what's really sad about it is, why do the people act like, because they're not taught properly. Them not being taught properly is a mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want to be mockers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want to, again, we can sit here and wag our heads at these Roman soldiers for treating them as they did. They didn't know any better. Our people are supposed to, particularly our people are supposed to, and they mock him. We've got to be careful of this. That's an understatement, to be careful about it. We must mean what we say. We must believe in what we hear in this place. I said, when I started this out, that, you know, the cross for us is, and I said an anchor point. I mean, that analogy is used a whole anchor. The cross is the center of creation. It's the center of the universe for us, or should be. The Carthusian, I love the Carthusians. I always say, you know, if this had happened back in the day, that's probably why it didn't. I would roll up in the Carthusian thing. There, that is like the order, you know, arguably when you talk about a contemplative order. Yeah, the Carthusian, their motto, Stat crux dum volvitur orbis. The cross is steady while the world turns. This is the visual we ought to get really on the cross. The world with the cross on top, the world turns, the world does its thing, the ebbs and flows of time, the volatility of the world, the flux of the world. It turns, it changes. The cross doesn't move. The cross stands. The cross is steady. If you really think about it, that is the only thing you have in your life that never changes. Never changes. It doesn't vary. It doesn't fluctuate. Your faith in it might vary and fluctuate, but it does not. The same cross that martyrs looked upon as strength when they were cast to lions and set on fire and all the other cool things that they did to the martyrs, when You think that they looked at the cross and gained their strength from it. That's the same cross that a cancer patient in the hospital looks upon for their strength to get through. The same cross for the same reason, for the same one who hung on it. This is the reality of this cross that does not vary. It does not move. Nothing ever changes about the cross. The cross is the center point of our universe. This is its reality. This is why St. Paul, he says in his letter to the Corinthians, when I came to you not in loftiness of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Christ, for I judge not myself to know anything among you, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know why Paul says that to the Corinthians? Because he tried something else earlier on in the Areopagus. He had tried to get out and, oh, you are all very religious. You have all of these idols and you have all of these altars. You have an altar to the unknown God. Let me discuss this unknown God with you. And then he commences to try to sway them by philosophy and words, although words of the gospel. But he tried to use his wisdom to overcome their lack thereof. And he started a riot. There are a couple people that listened to him, but he started right. They had to call the cops. They had to call the cops in to make sure, to quell things. Okay. He started right. We're not supposed to start riots, although they can happen. We're not supposed to try to start it. Not that he tried to start it, but at the end of the day, it was his trying to explain things. He didn't talk about Christ and him crucified. Okay. This is the gospel. This is the proclamation. Nothing but. We're seeing that obfuscated in our day. Okay, why do people come to Mass, you know, for over a millennia, over two millennia? You know, why do they come to Mass? Because to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to represent the cross of Calvary to the Father in a bloodless way. But that's why they came. Why do people come now? To hear about social justice? To hear about how nice we ought to be to other people? To how we ought to dialogue with other people? That nonsense that came out last week. Did you see the seven things? Last week, there was I don't do social networking, but it's all over the place if you look at Catholics. You know, we as Catholics, what one of these things resonates with you? You know, accompaniment, you know, all this, that guy, that. You know, and this was put out by powers from on high. And what was really cool about it is some of the responses they got, there were over like 85% negative, said, how about these things that resonate with us? And they listed the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, you know, those kind of things. Why isn't that on the list? Why isn't that on the list? Because that has to do with the cross. That's focused on the cross. These other things, accompaniment and innovation and, you know, all that other good stuff. That's not the cross. That's not the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how can we focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified? The only way to salvation. I am the way, the truth, and light. No one comes to the Father but through me. You people that don't believe in the cross, maybe you're okay too. That's a mockery. It's a mockery of the gospel. No different than the Roman soldiers. No different. Next time you hear that drivel, flee. You know, you don't want to be around when the hammer falls. And it will eventually. You know, it is his mercy. It really shows how much grace and mercy he has as to how patient he's been. Why he is openly mocked. He didn't come down and consume the Roman soldiers. He hasn't come down and consumed up yet. 2 Thessalonians, different subject for a different day. Bottom line, we've got to focus on the cross. That's how you avoid that. We preach Christ and him crucified, unadulterated, and as the exclusive way to get to heaven. You know, that whole cross salad, always like, you know, some of the, you know, the analogies of, you know, how that cross on top of the world, you know, what does it do? It points to heaven. This is a reality of the cross. This is the only way we get to heaven. Paul understood that. He wants us to understand. That's always been the gospel message, the cross. Christ and him crucified. Bottom line, this is what we need to focus on. That we not never to get back to basics occasionally. Oh, we don't, as we advance, we don't like to get back to basics. You say, you know, when I was back in the day, you know, teach Marines and cops how to shoot and everything, and you get out there and they want to do all this weird machine gun stuff and lasers and lights and all this kind of, you know, okay, take out your pistol and just shoot one bullet into the middle of the target. Oh, come on, really? What's that? That's basics. And you never want to lose the basics, because everything else is center. The basics are the center point of all, just like the cross is the center point of our lives. This is reality, the way we need to approach the cross. This is the message that we are called, not suggested, called to present to other people. Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is why we honor. This is why there are voted masses for the cross, or should be, because we never want to lose sight of this. And Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.